Welcome to the podcast. Jeff Wolf is a revivalist, author, and the founder and president of Resurgence, a Cincinnati-based nonprofit organization on a mission to minister to the ministry. We're so glad to have you today. Here's Jeff.
I'm excited to share with you today. Thanks for joining me. You know, I want to talk to you about something that is near and dear to my heart today. This is something that I have learned through the process of experience, that your pain will not be in vain. Isn't that an exciting statement? To look back over your life at the pain that you've experienced, the intangible emotional pain, pain that is in places where you can't point to and say this is where it hurts. All of that pain was for a purpose. It will not be in vain. God doesn't waste an experience. There's one thing that we all have in common. It's that we all have experienced pain, rejection, failure, inadequacy, name it. Make your own list. We've all suffered pain. And the important thing about that pain is that pain does not have to define you, but it can shape you. Let me say that one more time. Your pain does not have to define you, but it can shape you. Let me show you what I mean. This brings me to the story of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brethren." This is important. It's important because it shows us the character of this man that is featured in just these two verses in 1 Chronicles 4. This man that has come to be known by the prayer that he prayed that God answered. He was an honorable man. I believe that the writer wants us to know this up front because Jabez's name was given to him by his mother because she bore him in pain. Now think about this. Just hear me out. Jabez was named after the events of his beginning. I'm going to say that again. Jabez was named for the events of his beginning. His beginning of life. His very first breath was drawn through his mother's pain. It must have been so painful and so traumatic that she named him for her pain. Now, this is important to me because I have come to realize that people often associate with you based on what they see you going through. I'm going to talk to somebody today because I sense that there are some of you that understand this like I do, that people will relate to you not based on who you are, not based on what you've accomplished, not based on your successes, not based on your calling, not based on your anointing, not based on the revelation that God's given you that has come out of your mouth, but because of what they've watched you go through. They relate to you based on your pain. Now, sometimes that comes across self-righteously as if people look down their noses at you. I don't know about you, but there are people that used to be my friends, but when I went through something, they stopped being my friends. Are you listening to me? You have people in your life like that, and I would encourage you, don't mourn over those people. Let them go. Understand, give it to God, understand that they were in your life but for a season, and God's going to send you people to replace those people that will not name you by your pain. They will not define you by your pain, but they will see that the pain you've gone through has shaped you into what God created you to be. And so as Jabez's mother named him, she named him for the experience of his beginning. There are a lot of us that have had experiences and started on a journey, and the journey began with tragedy, or the journey began with a misstep, or the journey began with a mistake or a failure, something that was painful in our lives that defined or seemed to define that particular part of our journey. But I want you to know that God has just sent me by today to remind you that the beginning doesn't have to be the ending. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to this prayer that Jabez prayed. Can you imagine being Jabez and being called that name by his mother and his friends and his family for his entire childhood? How would you feel if you walked around with a name that meant pain? That every time your name was spoken, that you were reminded of the pain that you caused your mother at childbirth. That every time someone called your name, it reminded you of the pain of your beginning. That every time someone related to you, it brought up in your face the things that used to happen and the things that used to be and what you used to be. Your beginning is often how people will name you, the beginning of your pain. But you've got to understand that after a lifetime of being called by the name Jabez, the writer of 1 Chronicles 4 has to tell us that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, because if he didn't tell us that, we would only know him by his pain. Oh, I'm talking to somebody today. Do you know that God doesn't know you by your pain? He knows you because of your honor between you and Him. God knows you as an honorable child of the King. Jabez, the Bible says, was more honorable than all of his brethren. Again, we are told that because if the Bible didn't tell us that, we wouldn't know him as anything other than pain. And I want to challenge you today to stop being known by just your pain. What can you do about that? The only thing you can do is prove your critics wrong. Prove your haters that you didn't stay in that place of pain, but you came out of that place of pain. That your pain, though it was there, though it was necessary, though it will shape who you are, it does not define who you are. So we know that he was an honorable man, more honorable than all of his brethren. We know why his mother named him that, because his beginning brought about pain. But listen to this. Jabez called on the name of the Lord God of Israel. And he said these words, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Lord, bless me despite my pain. Bless me despite the pain that I've caused. Bless me despite what everybody's been calling me my whole life. Bless me despite the stigma that surrounds my situation. Bless me despite everything that people have thought about me. Bless me despite all of that stuff that seems to have defined my being. Bless me indeed." Phrases there, the phrase "bless me indeed" rather is a connection, a cooperation of the same Hebrew word used twice. So the same Hebrew word is used twice, the word for bless. In other words, Jabez says, "Bless me, bless me." And it's interpreted as "bless me indeed," or "bless me abundantly," or "bless me doubly." Jabez was not just saying, "Lord, please bless me." He was saying, "Lord, bless me double what I'm asking. Bless me indeed. Doubly bless me." Hallelujah. "Bless me, bless me." Another rendering is he was asking God to fill his palms. "Bless me till I can't hold anymore. Bless me till I have no more capacity to contain it. Bless me until I don't have room enough to receive it." Isn't that what your Bible promises you? "Bless me, Lord. I've been called pain all my life. I've been known by what I've caused. I've been known by the hurt and the pain that I authored. But Lord, fill my palms. Bless me indeed." And then he said, "Lord, enlarge my territory," which means give me land. What does Jabez need land for? He needs land in order to plant a crop. And the more land he has, the more seed he can plant, and the larger the harvest will be. What does it mean for you to pray, "Lord, give me more land," or "enlarge my territory"? You're asking God, first of all, to give you more land that you might have more seed. I believe that with the prayer for more territory comes greater responsibility to sow a greater seed. You didn't hear what I just said. The prayer for God to enlarge your borders is a prayer for more land, a prayer that brings responsibility for you to plant more seed. Oh, yes, that's what your Bible says. He gives seed to the sower. And so he's saying, Lord, give me more land. And when you give me more land, I'm going to plant more seed. But the benefit of planting more seed is that the harvest is larger. The harvest is directly connected to the seed and the amount of land. You can't grow a harvest of wealth out of a postage stamp size piece of land. You have to ask God to enlarge your territory. And then he says that your hand might be with me. The hand of God represents the power of God. And so when someone in Scripture speaks of the hand of God or asks God to extend his hand, they're asking that God might interject his power in their lives. Jabez is asking that the power of God might accompany him as he goes about his journey. Give me your power. Send your power with me, because it's not by my might or by my power, but it's by your spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Everything that I do, everything that I am, everything that I accomplish is in and through the power of the Holy Spirit that works in me. I need the power of God to be present in my life. I need his power to emanate when I speak. I need his power to be there to bless everything that I set my hand to. Lord, let your hand, your power, be with me. Are you still with me? So listen to what Jabez is saying. He's saying, doubly bless me. Fill my palms. Give me more land, send your power with me, and guard me. Keep me from evil. Guard me. You can't begin to be blessed by the hand of God without becoming a target for the enemy. You cannot be blessed of God without becoming a target for the enemy. It's going to happen. That's why you have to pray as Jabez prayed, guard me. Guard me. Keep me from evil. Guard me. And then he says, so that I may not cause pain. Do you know what Jabez is asking God? He's saying, Lord, don't let my end be like my beginning. And that's what I'm praying for you. I'm praying, Lord, don't let their end be like their beginning. Don't let them finish like they started. But let the end be victorious, though the beginning was painful. Let the end be successful, though the beginning was painful. Let the end be full of blessing and protection and favor and anointing and wisdom, though the beginning was full of heartache. That's what I'm praying for you today. And I challenge you to pray that for yourself and make up your mind that when you get to the end, your pain will have not been in vain. There was a purpose for that pain. It was not there to define you. It was there to shape and mold you. There's a difference. There's a difference. Your pain has been defining you. In other words, when people look up your name in the dictionary, pain is next to it. It's been defining who you are. It defines your attitudes. It defines how people see you. It defines how you see others. Your pain has defined you. Stop letting the pain that you were named at your beginning to define you, and instead turn it into a mold and a shaping tool. Let your pain shape you, but not define you. Your pain shapes you because it causes you to become someone who is stronger than you thought you could be. You never know who you are until you've gone through pain. You never know how strong you are until you've been through some pain. You never know how resilient you are until you have suffered a little while. And God sent me to tell you that your pain is not in vain. That excites me today, and I just wanted to encourage you in the Lord.
We're so glad you joined us today. Remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast provider and YouTube. For more information, go to jeffwolf.org. Are you one of the 268 million people around the world who are battling anxiety and depression? Jeff's new book addresses this pandemic of the mind. Mindemic: How Faith Can Help Us Overcome the Anxiety and Depression Crisis in America, will restore your hope and help you challenge the lies of the enemy in your mind. It's available on Amazon and at mindemic.org. We'll see you next week. Be blessed.